introduction, isn't it? And I really keyed in on that word. He said that young minister. I just turned 43, so I really appreciate that. It's so good to see y'all this morning. How many of you were here yesterday? Yay, we had fun, didn't we? We had a good time. Did any of you clean a little bit for 20 minutes, something? Yay, one! Awesome! No, I'm kidding. We had a good time at the women's conference yesterday. But, you know, it's so true what Brother Dean was saying. Do I need to adjust this at all, or are we okay? I don't want you to be annoyed the whole time. Is that okay? Okay. Well, I do believe that this is a divine appointment that you're here today. You know, we always pray before we go anywhere and just believe God that we have the right message for the right group of people. And even this morning, you know, just in the hotel room praying over y'all and believing that you'd actually get up and get here and that your heart would be open to receive. And like what Brother Dean was saying about me speaking on dreams and goals and vision, you know, that's the message that I believe the Lord's given me to share. And I just, years ago, I was reading the scripture that says, where there is no vision, the people perish. I looked up that word perish and it means die. I looked up the word die and it means die. So I was like, I get it. If we don't have a vision or a dream or a goal, something you're pursuing, you're just dying on the inside. God wants you to dream. You know, there's different types of dreams. There's the dreams you have in the night, you know, when you go to sleep. For example, my husband, every time he dreams, he's always the hero in his dreams. And he has to tell me about the dreams, you know. But in fact, one night Rodney was dreaming and next morning he wakes me up and he says, I have to tell you what happened. He said, I was in this truck and Cassidy, our daughter, was sitting beside me and my stepdad, Gail, was sitting beside her. He said, I'm driving in this truck, and all of a sudden it went off this ledge and into the water, and the truck was sinking. And Rodney said, he was like, oh, my gosh. So he undoes his seatbelt, opens the door, and he gets water, you know, gets above the water, and he's like, oh, my gosh, Cassidy. So he goes back under, gets Cassidy out of the seatbelt, pulls her up, and puts her on the little dock. And then he thought, oh, my stepdad. So he goes back under, opens the door, gets Gail out, puts him on the dock. And then he was like, oh, and he goes back under, pulls the truck up. Puts the truck on the dock. So you can imagine what I said in your dreams, you know. But that's not the kind of dreams I'm talking about. I'm talking about the dreams and the goals that God has for your life. There's something he wants you to accomplish. I'm pretty sure I told y'all this when I was here before, but when John Bevere came to our church, he made this statement that I just never forgotten. He said, when judgment day comes, and it's going to come, when every single one of us are going to stand before God and you're going to give an account for your life. He said, but when that day comes and you stand before God, he said, he's not going to hold you accountable for what you did on earth. And I thought, well, I'm confused. He said, no, he's going to hold you accountable for what you were called to do on earth. What you did and what you were called to do could be two different things. Hopefully not. But there's something God's calling us to do. And he doesn't want us to waste any more time, does he? Because time goes by so fast. And there's something that he's saying to you. It could be, I've called you to preach. Why aren't you preaching? Well, I'm scared to get up in front of people. Yeah, but I gave you faith to overcome fear. Get up and start preaching. I called you to sing. Why aren't you using your voice? Well, I don't think I sound that good. I called you to use that voice. Get up and sing. I called you to start that business. I called you to pay off that debt. I called you to be a mom. I called you, you know, whatever it is, he's going to hold us accountable for what he's called us to do. So we have to realize we don't have time to waste. We got to get moving towards the plan of God, right? Well, we'll get started real quick. First of all, if you don't have a Bible, this awesome church wants to give you a Bible. So would you raise your hand real quick if you don't have a Bible and you need one this morning? There, the ushers have Bibles. By the way, I just have to say that I love your pastors. Do you love them? Pastor Joel and Miss Peppy, they are the sweetest. And all of you women who were here yesterday, you know that I adore your pastor. I respect him so much. I listen to him all the time, and I still have never met him. I kept thinking, well, this time I'll get to meet him. And then they said, he's in India. So would y'all tell him I said hello when he gets back? But I'm so honored to be here because, you know, in fact, I talk about this church all over the world. When I'm out preaching, I talk about what an example, what a role model this church is. You are definitely connected to big dreamers, aren't you? And you become like those you hang out with. You become like those you are connected to. So that's a good thing. Well, let me just tell you real quick. I want to talk to you about what you're going to do with the next 5 years of your life. You know, most success books that I read, they talk about having a five-year plan for your life. Just imagining your life 5 years from now. Like, just for example, just imagine the year 5 years from now. What is that year? Or add up your age 5 years from now. Think of that number. Now, think of just even your financial situation. What do you want your finances to look like over the next 5 years? You know, I am so convinced that you have to see something in here before it ever shows up out here. Every dream, every goal, everything that God's doing in my life right now, I saw it a few months ago, a few years ago, sitting in my guest bedroom just thinking. You know, I've heard John Maxwell say that. You know, I think I told the ladies this. He said, thinking precedes achievement. Nobody just stumbles upon success and then says, how did I get here? No, the greater your thinking, the greater your potential. And you know, so many times people say something like, you know, don't just sit there, do something. I always say, don't just do something, sit there and just think for a minute. Think about what God wants you to do. Think about what He wants you to get serious about and then start taking steps towards it. Every successful person I know, the ones I study, and now I apply this in my life, they take a certain amount of time to just think. In fact, I heard that Albert Einstein actually had a special thinking chair that he would just sit and ponder and think about things before he started pursuing it. But you think about how we get so busy, just busy with life, always on the go. But I don't know about you. I don't want to come to the end of my life and at my funeral people say, man, that Terry Savelle Foy, she sure was busy. Not real sure what she did, but I know she was busy. No, I want to succeed on purpose, don't you? Where you actually think about, God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to get serious about? And then start taking steps towards it. So thinking about the next 5 years of your life, what do you see 5 years from now? It's the year 2017. What do you see? I want you to take the time to just think about it. You know, I like to read a lot of books from successful people, and I was reading a book from a doctor, extremely brilliant doctor. His name is Dr. Seuss, and he made this statement. He said, you have brains in your head and feet in your shoes. You can steer yourself any direction you choose. You're on your own, and you know what you know, and you're the one who will decide where to go. It really is a profound statement when you think about it. You're the one who will decide where to go. It's completely up to you. You can stay where you are, or you can move closer towards the plan of God for your life, right? It's funny because, you know, I was speaking at the Amway conference about a month ago, 12,000 people, you know, and it's all businessmen and women, and I'm pulling out my props and little things, and I know they're probably like, really? Who is this girl? It sounds like she's 9 years old. But I'm a visual learner, so I always have to see what I'm learning, you know. But that's why when it comes to dreams and goals, it's so important that you write your dreams and you keep them before your eyes. You know, I'm absolutely convinced you will never leave where you are until you see where you'd rather be. You'll never leave where you are until you see where you'd rather be. When you think about your future, you start seeing things. You see images and pictures of what you're believing God for. Napoleon Hill made this statement. He said, I can teach anybody how to get what they want in life. Problem is, I can't find anybody who can tell me what they truly want. That's being specific about what you're believing God for. You know, you've probably heard this before, how years ago when Kenneth Hagin was still living, he said so many times, you know, he'd see people praying at the altar, and he'd just walk up to them and gently tap them on the shoulder, and he'd say, sweetheart, what are you praying about? And so many times people would answer with, oh, nothing in particular. He'd say, then that's exactly what you're going to get, nothing in particular. We have to be specific about what we're believing God for. You know, I'm always telling the staff, you know, if we're believing for something, I want to see the price of it. If we're believing for a new piece of furniture, let's get a picture of that furniture and write down the price so we can target our faith for that exact amount. And I know for a fact your pastor preaches this because I've heard him talk about how dishes and furniture and different things, he would get pictures out, even tithes he was believing for. He'd put pictures in there and start believing God for those things. Well, God wants us to do that. He's the one who came up with this success principle. Habakkuk 2:2 says, write the vision, make it plain on paper, right? When you do that, it causes you to go from where you are to where you want to be. And it paints a clear picture of what you're believing God for. Well, how many of you feel like you've wasted a lot of years and you've just missed too many opportunities? Don't raise your hand. But, you know, I think we all do at different times. And we feel like maybe it's too late. You know, I could have pursued that when I was younger, but maybe it's too late. You know, God can restore the years that Satan has stolen. Joel 2:25 says God will restore the years. You have to hang on to that scripture. God can speed things up. But you have to stop looking at all the opportunities you've missed. Stop looking at all the years you've lost. And start looking at the years you've got left. And do something with these years we've got left. You could accomplish more in the next 5 years of your life. Seriously, the next 5 years of your life could be the most rewarding, most productive, most amazing years of your life, or just another 5 years. It's completely up to you, your ability to dream, your ability to think. And you know, I was telling the first service that if whatever your dream is, or dreams plural, if they look impossible, you probably heard from God. Because God is an impossibility thinker. In fact, my dad preached a message years ago about God being the God of El Shaddai. You know, that's one of his names. And that El Shaddai actually means he specializes in doing the impossible. Every dream that I've ever written down, the dreams that I'm pursuing, the ones that I'm going for right now, every one of them look absolutely impossible, and I have no idea how God can do it. But that's where you just have to say, Lord, I don't know how, but I trust you. In fact, years ago, the Lord told me this. He said, stop saying, I trust you with a question mark. Because I would get out my book of dreams, you know, and I would lift them up before the Lord, and I would just be like, I trust you, Lord, with the question mark. He said, start saying, I trust you with an exclamation point. There's a big difference in that, isn't there? In fact, years ago when I was a cheerleader, you know, in high school, and I was always the girl on the very top of the pyramid, you know, I always wanted to be up the highest. But when I was first learning some of these stunts, I would get up, you know, three people high. And the way we would dismount from this one stunt was I was supposed to throw my arms up and just fall backwards and they would catch me. Well, the first time I did that, I was so scared, you know, and we're in practice and I put my arms up real crooked, you know, didn't look good at all. And I'm getting ready to fall, but I'm looking behind me, making sure the girls are there, you know. And then all of a sudden I would fall. Well, finally my coach, she said, Terry, I'm going to be honest with you. You look stupid. And I was like, well, be honest, you know, tell me the truth. She said, you look so ridiculous. She said, if you do that at the football game, no one's going to be encouraged by the cheerleaders. They're all going to have fear all over them because just looking at your face, you are so full of fear. She said, what's the problem? I said, I just want to make sure they're there, you know. So she asked them, are you going to be there? All the girls and the guy, they're all like, yes, we'll be here. Our eyes are on Terry. She said, you have nothing to fear. Just throw yourself into it. And so, you know, just through practice and everything, it got to where I would get at those football games, I'd throw my arms up, and I would just look at the sky and just fall backwards. And, of course, you could hear my mom in the stands going, Jesus! I always knew mom was there, but anyway, you honestly have to get that way when it comes to your faith and the dreams that you're believing God for, where you stop asking how, and you stop questioning God, and you just say, Lord, I trust you. I trust you with all my heart. I'm not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by what I hear. I'm not moved by what I feel. Lord, I trust you. You have to get that way. But, you know, that comes from just hearing the Word of God and getting serious about building your faith. I said before, you have to see something before you can have something, right? And that's a matter of you going home today and even 5 minutes before you go to bed. You could even take your cell phone in there, set the alarm for 5 minutes, and just sit there quietly and just listen for God. And, you know, God wants to speak to you even more than you want to listen. He wants to tell you the dreams and the goals that he wants you to get serious about, but he just needs some time with us, doesn't he? Every one of us could give him 5 minutes, couldn't we? Even set the alarm. Do that. Set the alarm on your phone and go somewhere by yourself, no interruptions, and just listen. And God may tell you, I want you to get serious about getting out of debt. You've been saying this for years. Now I want you to get serious about it. And you say, okay, well, what do I do? Go in there and add up your debt. Stop saying I'm going to be debt-free and you don't even know what that number is. Bible says, write the vision, make it plain, right? Whatever it is, you could have been saying for years, this is the year I'm going to start saving money. But you're not setting a clear goal. You're saying I'm going to save money, and because you haven't said how much, you're just not saving any money. So that could be the thing God's telling you it's time to get serious about. Start saving money. Okay, how much? How much, Lord? What is a realistic but stretching goal for me? $1,000. Okay, I'm going to set a goal to save $1,000 by next year at this time. Or whatever it is in your situation. But it's you taking the time to just listen for God and stop just being busy. Time's going by, another year's gone, and nothing's changed. You know what I used to do years ago? January 1st, I'd get out a piece of paper. I'd write my New Year's goals one by one. I'd just write all these goals and dream as big as I could. Then I'd put that piece of paper in a nightstand and never look at it again. Did my dreams happen? I didn't even remember what I wrote, much less pursue them. And some of you may be in that same boat where you want to pursue your dreams, but you just get busy with life. Well, I began, listening to messages about dreams and goals and changing some of my habits, In fact, years ago, I was telling the first service how I was going through the hardest time I'd ever been through in my life, and I had no vision. Never dreamed in a million years I would preach or teach the word of God. I was so insecure, so full of shame. I'd done a lot of stupid things in the past. Never, ever would want to fly to Jackson, Mississippi and get on a stage and talk, especially with this voice. And so I had no dream for my life. But because I was going through such a hard time, the only vision I could even come up with was I'm going to make myself listen to the Word of God, just one CD every morning for 21 days. Because I'd been told, if you can do something consistently for 21 days, you can break an old habit and start a new one, right? So that was my goal. 21 days, I'm going to make myself listen to the Word. So I set myself up for success. I got a CD player, went to my parents' house, stole a bunch of their CDs, put it in the bathroom, and I seriously put a big sticky note on the mirror that said, push play. Because it wasn't a habit to me yet. So the next morning, I went in there and I pushed play. And I'm getting ready. It takes a while to put all this on. So I'm getting ready, and I'm listening to the Word. Next day, listening to the Word. Next day, listening to the Word. And as I began doing that, something began to change. And it was me. I began to change. I began to realize God really does forgive me. Like, He forgave me the first time I asked Him. I don't have to keep going back and asking God to forgive me for the same sin. In fact, Lamentations 3:23 says, I will remember your sins no more. So I had to stop reminding God of what He already forgot. So I finally received the forgiveness. Then I began to just wonder. I wonder if I'll ever preach. I wonder if I'll ever help teenage girls. I wonder if I'll ever write a book. I just began to wonder those things. But I just kept on listening to the Word, listening to the Word. And then it was where I couldn't get enough. I wanted CDs in my car. So every time I would drop my daughter off at school and go to work, I'd hear the Word. I'd hear the Word on the way to lunch. I'd hear the Word back to the office. I remember going online to Joyce Meyer's website, and I ordered $60 worth of product. And I remember thinking, oh my gosh, I cannot believe I just spent $60 on CDs. And then I started thinking, I would easily spend that on an outfit. This is my future I'm talking about. So I got the CDs, and I just could not get enough. I put the CD player in the kitchen. I would listen to the Word while I'm, loading the dishwasher, unwrapping the fast food because I don't know how to cook. I was just constantly listening to the Word, Well, then I heard John Maxwell make this statement. He said, if I could come to your house and watch you for 24 hours, I could tell whether or not you're going to be a success or a failure. And I thought, oh my gosh. He said, a lot of times when I say that at conferences, people think, my claim sounds arrogant. He said, but no, let me watch you from the moment you wake up until you go to bed that night. He said, you pick the day, but let me observe you from morning till night. And just by watching you in one 24-hour period, he said, I could tell in what direction your life is headed. He said, the reason I say that is because the secret of your future is hidden in your daily routine. He said, it's what you do on a daily basis that's going to lead you into God's plan or away from God's plan. Think about that. Just changing one thing about your daily routine could change your whole life. And I can vouch for that. Just that single habit of listening to the Word of God every morning. I got to get ready anyway. Might as well put on a faith-building CD. And what does the Bible say? Faith comes by hearing. Every time you hear the Word of God, faith comes. Now, here's the cool thing. You know, there's two forces at work. There's faith or there's fear. You can either be full of faith or full of fear. You can't be full of both of them at the same time. Well, how do you get more faith? Faith comes by hearing, right? So every time you hear the Word of God, not only does faith come, but fear goes. Faith comes and fear goes. Then when God gives you a dream, you're going to respond with faith or you're going to respond with fear, right? God gives you a dream, it looks impossible, and your first thought is, oh my gosh, I don't know how I'm going to do that. But faith comes by hearing. You've been hearing the Word so much that you say, Lord, I don't know how we're going to do it, but I trust you. That's a result of changing a habit, right? So let me just share with you real quick how years ago, it really wasn't that long ago, if you think about it, August 22nd of 2006, as I began, you know, developing this habit of hearing the Word, and I began to change on the inside, I just thought, okay, I'm just going to dream. I don't know if this is God or if I'm making this up, but I just began to give myself permission to dream. So here's what I wrote. This is just in my little dream book. I said, what is my vision? What do I see in my future? Sometimes it's embarrassing to dream or to admit what you see in your heart, but I know there's power in writing your vision and making it plain on paper. Keep in mind, when I wrote this, I never dreamed I would be standing in front of people telling them what I saw. But number one, I said a TV broadcast. I said, for some reason, I see myself teaching on the broadcast with my dad, but I see him actually, I can almost hear him calling me and saying, Terry, why don't you do the whole broadcast for the next month by yourself, and I'll join you when I get back. And I even wrote on there, I don't know why I see this, because I've never yearned for the spotlight. For some reason, I see that. Number two, books. I said, it's humbling to write this kind of stuff because I don't want to appear I'm trying to be famous. That's not it at all. I'm just trying to be honest about what I believe I see. I see books in bookstores. Number three, conferences with a theme. I said, it's funny that I have to add the theme part because I don't know what the theme is, but I see women and young girls coming from all over America to attend these conferences. Number four, helping troubled teenagers. I don't know exactly what God wants me to do with this. Perhaps it's because of my own past, but I see myself helping girls who are pregnant, girls who have been cutting themselves, things like that. And number five, a mission in France. I said, I know I didn't study French for no reason, but I don't know anyone in the nation of France, but I trust God. So that was August of 2006. Well, 5 years later, in 2011, I updated my dream book with actual pictures. Here I am teaching on the broadcast with my dad, which I've been doing for years now, and I can't even tell you how many times he calls me and says, Terry, why don't you do the whole broadcast for the next month? I'll join you when I get back. Here we are, the first time I walked in Barnes & Noble, and there was my book on the bookshelves. Here we are hosting a conference that the Lord told me years later. He told me what the theme was, and it's called icing. Icing means something added to something good to make it even better. Cake is good, but the icing makes it better, right? So here we are, and at the icing conferences, we help young girls and women. And then, of course, here we are helping troubled teenagers with Mercy Ministries. I've partnered with Nancy Alcorn, and we give her CDs and books, and we teach these young girls who are pregnant and, you know, eating disorders, cutting themselves. We teach them how to give the past a burial, and now let's get a dream for your life. So here we are doing that. And then France. Keep in mind, I didn't know anyone in the nation of France. Here we are preaching in the largest church in the nation of France. And now all of my books are in French in bookstores in Paris. Is that amazing? And you know what's really wild about this? None of this took 5 years. And keep in mind, I had no vision for my life except I'm going to make myself listen to the Word of God every day. Think of what God could do in your life if you would just give Him a little time to just think. What if I hadn't written that down? Just sitting in my guest bedroom, me and my laptop, not even totally sure, is this God or am I making this up? Because I remember I kept writing things like, Lord, it's not that I want to be famous. Why am I writing this? See, God wants to speak to you and He wants to give you a dream, but He just needs a little time with you for you to just listen and then get serious about writing that dream and goal. You know, I was telling the first service how back in March when we were redoing our office, I was over in France preaching in a church there. And back home, they were redoing the offices, putting hardwood floors, painting the walls and all that stuff. And they were texting me while I'm in France. They said, Terry, what do you want on this big wall that your desk is facing? I texted back. I said, I want vision. They're like, what do you mean? I said, I want a giant vision board. So they found just a bulletin board in the office somewhere. Then they found this giant gold frame that was just in a closet. They took the gold frame out, painted it black, and put that bulletin board behind it. They hung it up on my wall, and my office looks amazing. You know, it's got little pictures of Paris, family portraits, you know, all this stuff. But then there's this giant vision board that was just empty. So when I came back, I could hardly wait to go to work, you know, just putting pictures up and images of what I'm believing God for. Well, when I got back, I was just busy catching up on work. And I'm serious, I can't tell you how bad it bothered me. Every time I would just look up from my desk and see nothing. And I'm convinced if you see nothing, you can expect nothing. You have to have a vision. You have to have images and dreams and pictures of what you're believing God for. And if they're impossible, good. That means you are so dependent on God. You know, I just shared with you the good things that have already happened. But in the back of this book, there's a lot of things that haven't happened yet, that I have to just keep those images before me and believe God for those things. That's what God wants you to do. In fact, I've been told that Walt Disney was an impossibility thinker. You know, that when he would sit down with his board of directors, they said that he would throw out these ideas, and if everybody at the table said, yeah, yeah, Walt, let's do that, he'd say, then that's not what we're going to do. Then he'd throw out these ideas, and people would say, that's crazy, no one's ever done that. He'd say, then that's what we're going to do. Isn't that wild? He was an impossibility thinker. So I want you to think that way. When God gives you something, a dream, a goal, a vision, whatever it is, if it's impossible and you know you cannot do this without God, that's good. He wants you totally dependent on Him. So write the vision, make it plain on paper. And of course, just to sum up that story, it did not take very long for me to get pictures and images on that vision board of where I see our lives headed. And you know what? My staff loves to come in there because they can see some of the things already that God's done this year that we just put up there in March. But you look at it and you're like, that's already happened. That one happened. And it's encouraging. And some of you parents, this is one of the best things you can do with your children is teach them to dream at this age, whatever age they're at. Teach them to get images and pictures of what you're believing for. Just recently, I was in my guest bedroom because every morning I go in there. I've just made it part of my routine. It only takes 5 minutes, seriously. I go in my guest bedroom before I ever go to work. I get out my book of dreams. I keep them before my eyes. I lift them up before the Lord, and I thank Him for them, and I go on to work. It doesn't even take long. But the other day, I was in there, and I was just looking at some of them and just praying about them. All of a sudden, my daughter Cassidy comes in, and I'm just showing her. I said, Cass, look what God has done just this year. And it's so inspiring for young people to see that because I'm not just telling her, Cassidy, listen to what happened. No, I'm showing her, look, we wrote that back last year and look what God's done. Look at this. God did that this year. And I've got the dates on here, you know, when they happen. But talk about teaching your teenagers and young people at their age. Imagine what all they can accomplish too as they grow up and apply this principle. You know, the statistics say that less than 3% of Americans have their dreams and goals in writing. But the ones who do, are the ones who are the most successful. So we just have to do it, don't we? Amen? So writing your dreams and goals. I heard your pastor say this on a CD. He said that he would tell y'all different times. He'd say, we're going to the next level. We're going to the next level. And some of you would chant back, yeah, we're going to the next level. And he said, one day Miss Peppy said, great, what's it look like? And he said, what does the next level look like? Then he began putting images together of where he sees this church going. Well, you have to do the same thing with your family, with your spouse, with your own life. What does that next level look like to you? Is it you at your ideal weight? Is it you being debt free? Is it you going back and getting that degree? Is it you taking some type of instrument lessons, you know? Is it you learning a foreign language? What is it that you feel like God's telling you, come on, let's kick it up. Let's go to the next level. And then put those images before your eyes. Keep them before your eyes. So two questions for you today, and I'll sum it up quick. Number one is, what do you see yourself doing? What do you see even the next 5 years from now? You have to see something before you can have something. Even Albert Einstein said this. He said, your imagination is everything. He said, it's simply a preview of life's coming attractions. Think about when you go to the movies and you see a preview of a movie that's about to come. You don't see the whole movie. You just see little snapshots, right? Well, that's what happens. That's what I was doing when I was sitting in that guest bedroom. I was just seeing little snapshots of what I felt God was showing me. That's what's going to happen to you when you take the time to just sit and listen. You're going to see a preview of those things God wants you to do. So the first question is, what do you see yourself doing? My second question is, when are you going to do it? When are you going to do it? And the reason I say that is because I believe that procrastination is a dream thief. That Satan would love more than anything to keep you so busy that you absolutely miss out on the plan of God for your life. Or the things he still has for you to pursue. He wants you to be so busy, or that you just keep saying one day I'm going to do that. You know, I was telling the first service how in John chapter 5, do y'all remember that story of, do you remember how there would be sick people laying by a pool, the pool of Bethesda? And it said that they would wait for an angel. All these people who are disabled and, you know, lame and sick and paralyzed, they would lay there and wait for an angel to come along, put them in the water so they could be healed. And in that story, it talks about how there was one guy, an invalid, who had been laying there for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned he'd been in that condition for a long time, Jesus walked up to him and asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water stirred. When I try to get in, someone always gets ahead of me." So, you know, I've heard Joyce Meyer preach on this so many times, how his response was one of self-pity. Every time I try, somebody always gets ahead of me. So Jesus, you know, being love personified, in his heart of compassion, you know what he said to the man? "Get up, pick up that bed you've been laying in, and start walking." He gave him three commands: get up, pick up the bed, and walk. Now, when I read that story, my first thought was, why in the world would Jesus need to ask a sick person, "Do you want to get well?" Well, the reason he asked him that is because nothing had changed in 38 years. And so it made me think, what is it that Jesus could be asking some of us? Do you want to get out of debt? Do you really? Because you've been saying this for 12 years, 15 years, 38 years. Do you really want to have life insurance? Because you've been saying that for 20 years. Do you want to start that business? Do you really want to go back to school? Do you want to be a teacher? Because you've been saying for 8 years you want to be a teacher, and you could have been one by now. I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm just trying to be like Jesus. No, but I mean, I had to do that with myself. Terry, how many times are you going to say you want to do this, but you're not doing anything about it? And you know how Jesus said to him, he said, "Get up, pick up your bed, and walk." Well, what could Jesus be saying to us? Get up, pick up that manuscript, and start writing that book. Get up, pick up that music, and start singing. Get up, pick up your wallet, and start giving. Get up, pick up that instrument, and start playing. Start singing. Get up, pick up that degree, and go get that job. Whatever it is, God could be saying, you don't have another year to waste. Let's not repeat this next year what we did this year. Let's get serious about the plan of God for our lives, right? You know, I think God could bring me all the way from Fort Worth, Texas, and tell you in a real soft-spoken voice, it's time to get moving. But I really believe that. I prayed, you know, we pray before we go anywhere. And this morning, just walking in my hotel room, I was just praying for y'all and believing God. You know, I said, Lord, you know every precious person that's going to be in that church today. You know every detail of their lives. You know exactly what they're going through. Not only that, he knows exactly what you've been through. And I was just praying in Jesus' name that your hearts were open to receive and that something would happen today. Even where you would say, this is a defining moment, I'm going to get serious about it. You know, you still have a lot God wants you to accomplish. And don't ever think that preparation time is wasted time. Every single time you listen to the Word of God, you're getting stronger. You're preparing. You're building your faith. Like today, just because you came to church, your faith is stronger today than it was yesterday. That's cool, isn't it? Your faith is stronger today than it was last night. So every time you hear the word, every time you spend 5 minutes with the Lord, 10 minutes with the Lord, you're getting stronger. You're preparing. And God is ready. He's so ready to give you that next assignment. He just wants you to listen for it. So I was telling the first service about the Chinese bamboo tree. And I'll just close out with this. Have y'all heard about the Chinese bamboo tree? You know, they say when you plant the seed for this tree, this specific tree, the first year that you plant that seed, you water it and you fertilize it. Nothing grows above ground the whole first year. Second year, you water it and you fertilize it. Nothing grows above ground. Third year, water it, fertilize it. And it looks like nothing is happening. Nothing grows. The fourth year, the same thing. You water it and fertilize it. Nothing grows above ground. In the fifth year, it grows as much as 80 feet above the ground. And here, and this is true, they say that all that time when it appears nothing is happening, it's developing a massive root system in order to support the growth it's going to have in its fifth year. I want you to realize that God works the same way. And all that time it appears nothing's happening, nothing's changing, I'm still in the same place. You keep building yourself up in the Word. You keep feeding your spirit. You stay connected to big dreamers. You are developing that massive root system so that you can handle the growth that God wants you to have. So don't ever give up on your dreams. You know, the thing is, Satan will lie to anybody who will listen. He does it to me all the time. He's always constantly trying to tell me, that's never going to happen. That dream is too big. Who do you think you are? It's never going to happen. I know what you did in the past. I know, you know, all that kind of stuff. You have to seriously make him shut up. And you know, the most powerful weapon that God has given you is right here, your mouth. This is the only offensive weapon that God has given us, and it's right here. In fact, I heard this story one time about this coach from Auburn University. He had this guy, Mike, who was a linebacker for the Miami Dolphins. He said, Mike, I want you to help me recruit new players for the team. So he said, Mike, you know, there's that kind of guy, you hit him, you knock him down, and they stay down. Mike said, we don't want that kind of player, right, coach? He said, no. He said, there's that other kind of player. You hit them, you knock them down, they get back up. You hit them, you knock them down, they get back up. He said, no matter how many times you hit them, knock them down, they get back up. He said, that's the kind of player we want, right, coach? He said, no. Find me the guy that's knocking everybody down. So, you know, when I heard that, I thought, that's exactly what we're doing. Every time you speak the word of God out of your mouth, you become the offensive one knocking the devil down. Every time you get out your book of dreams and you lift them up before the Lord and you say, I don't care how I feel. Lord, I thank you that my debt of $22,516 is paid in full. You know the amount. Every time you do that, you're getting on the offensive side and it's just like slapping the devil, punching him out. So I want you to get serious about it. How many of you don't want to be where you're at today next year at this time? I don't either. I'm right there with you. So I want to close out with this question that so many people ask. They say, what if it's too late to do what I was born for? What if it's too late to fulfill my dreams and goals? I think Richard Bach answered it the best. He said, here's the test to determine whether or not your mission on earth is finished. You ready? He said, if you're alive, it isn't. So that pretty much sums it all up, doesn't it? If you're alive, you still have a mission. You still have a vision. So did y'all receive that? Amen. Well, thank you so much.